and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, everybody, it is so good to be with you today. If you're there in the service on a Sunday, thanks so much for coming in. It's great to have you in the room, and I'll be sat with some of you. Perhaps some of you are online. It's great to have you, or you're catching up in the week equally. Thanks so much for listening in. Our prayer is that you'll have enjoyed the service, but more than that, that you'll have encountered God. And if you've never known him, our prayer for you particularly is today that you would say, God, if you're there, I'd love to get to know you. And at the end of this particular message, there will be an opportunity for you to do that. Whatever vehicle, however you're watching this, and if you're in the room, one of the hosts will jump up at the end and say, hey, would you like to begin a relationship? It's the thing that we're most excited about as a church, is introducing people to Jesus. So great, thanks so much for coming. Another thing I want to say is, happy Christmas! Oh, I can't wait for Christmas. I have to say, I'm not quite as excited as Jack. If you ever meet Jack Pemberton, he's even more crazy about Christmas than I am. But we are in the process of putting up our three Christmas trees at the moment. As I speak, we have one up and two to go. But hopefully by the weekend, and after that, we'll have even more up. I'm so excited for Christmas. I love Christmas. I love celebrating the fact that God loved me and you and the whole world enough to come down as a baby and be with us and then go on to rescue us so that we can have a relationship with him. And so I'm really, really excited about Christmas. Well, this particular Christmas, we're thinking about God with us, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 1, begin to read from verse 18. So let's begin this message by reading that passage. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is where our series title, God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home and his wife to be his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. God came down to be with us. And I just think that's so incredibly exciting. It's actually a very precious thought. And I want to encourage you over the Christmas season is to think about the fact that God loved you enough. He thought you were so important, so precious, that he wanted to be with you. And I might, you sometimes have days where I wonder if anybody would love me, if anybody would have me. But we need to know every day there's one, the supreme being of everything, who loves us and longs to be with us. And he demonstrated it when he sent his son Jesus. At Christmas, it is a precious thought for us. It should also make us thankful. And I hope you're going like, wow, that's amazing that God would think enough or think of me enough to want to be with us. And for those of you who know your Bibles, it says in Matthew 28, before Jesus left, he said, I will be with you always till the very end of the time. See, when Jesus came, God said, I will never leave you. If you want me, I will be with you every single day of your life. And we should be thankful. Do you know, if you're a Christian, you live and breathe God both in your life and around your life. God is always with you, and you should be thankful. You're never alone, because God is with you. But equally, this should be a precious thought. We should be thankful, but what should we do with it? Should we keep it to ourselves? Or should we let other people know about it? You see, when Jesus first came, there was lots of different people were told about it. He wasn't kept secret. It wasn't a private thing. For those of you, again, who know the Christmas story, there was the shepherds and there was the angels, there was the wise men, there was the innkeeper, and the palace got to know in Jerusalem. There was lots and lots of people knew about it. We should be doing something about the knowledge that we have that God is with us, because it's a precious thing and something that we are thankful about. And that's what I want to speak into for the next few minutes. Matthew, once he's finished talking about Joseph and his rather awkward moment discovering that his wife to be, his fiancée, his engaged one, was pregnant and wouldn't know what to do with it, but yet the angel turning up. Matthew then goes on to tell us about the wise men. Now, I was listening to a radio show the other day. I do it from time to time. And they had a quiz on, and they asked this question. The question was this: how many wise men were there? And I was sat there in my chair going, well, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It just says there were some magi, there were some wise men. It doesn't say. Of course, the answer came back as three. And at which point I thought the commentator would say, well, we all know there wasn't three, we just don't know. But he said, yes, you're right, there was three. Just so you know, there wasn't three wise men. We don't know how many there was. There was three gifts. There was definitely three gifts, but we don't know quite how many wise men there was. But anyway, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses. It says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, or wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When the king heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where this Christ was to be born. Well, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He then sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make a careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. He wasn't really going to worship him. That wasn't really the plan. He was going to kill him because he was jealous. But anyway, after they had heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The wise men were seeking. I want to let you know, everybody, that there are wise people about today who are still seeking the truth. They're still seeking to know. I was reading Romans just this last week, Romans 1, and Paul talks about the fact that, you know, anybody who really thinks about the world and about the environment that we're in asks these simple questions. I wonder where this all came from. I wonder why we're here. I wonder if there's more to life than this. I wonder what happens when I die. They're seekers of truth. And you'd be surprised to know that there are almost the entire population in those quiet moments of life are asking those questions. They're seeking truth. They are wise people seeking for answers. And that's what these wise men were doing. They were seeking for answers, and they were willing to spend a considerable amount of time. We don't know exactly where they came from. Somewhere in the east, maybe Babylon, but definitely months, maybe years worth of journey had come into this. They would have spent a considerable amount of money. Imagine if you had to go on a trip for 6 months and pay for hotels every night. It would cost an absolute arm and a leg. Well, they probably camped, but still, it was an incredible undertaking. And we often just kind of read this passage and you see the pictures on the Christmas cards and you see these three wise men on three camels making their journey across the desert. That's obviously not what would have happened at all. These people weren't just commoners, they would be important people, which would mean they would not have traveled alone. There would have been a whole caravan trail. They would have had the animals, there'd be camels and donkeys and horses maybe. There'd be servants, there'd be carts with tents in and finery. There'd be the gifts. The gifts would have to be, you know, looked after properly. There'd be cooking equipment. There'd be a whole stack of people around. Probably there'd be some soldiers around them, protecting them. If you read the Old Testament, if you go into Nehemiah chapter 2 or Ezra chapter 8, you'll read that it was normal for people to travel with a whole host of troops to protect them because there was bandits and robbers. And so this whole caravan trail would have been traveling for a number of months to arrive in Jerusalem. They seemed so important that when they got to Jerusalem and to the king, they knocked on the king's palace and he let them straight in. And they walked straight into the king's chamber, to King Herod's chamber, and chatted with the king. These were important people seeking, and they would have had this huge entourage of people to look after them and to take care of them. And this is important. You see, these wise men on their own were not going to find King Jesus. They weren't going to find the truth. They needed, as it were, a whole support staff. If they, as they sought the truth, these important people sought the truth, if they were going to find it. And it's the same today. Do you know, God thinks everybody's important, as important as the wise men. Every single individual who asks the question, begins to seek, is so important. But they need a whole stack of people around them to help them find that God is with them this Christmas, to find the truth that Jesus is the King, he does love them, and he wishes to reign and rule in their life. And unpack, as it were, all those questions I started with. Why we're here, what happens after life, there must be more than this, and all those other things. Jesus will help them understand that truth. So I want to say that you have a massively important job, not just this Christmas, but every Christmas. I want to highlight a few of those things that helped. The first thing, which is well mentioned, is the star. So if you're taking notes, put down star. The star had a very important function. It both guided and then it shone on, it pressed its light on to baby Jesus. He highlighted the King of Kings. And it's our job as part of the entourage of helping the wise men in our world, the wise people in our world who are seeking the truth, to guide people into finding Jesus. And as it were, to shine as we can our light that we generate. Do you know the Bible says, doesn't it, that we are like lights, that we are like lamps, and that we shine God's love and God's purpose into people's life. People who guide point people to the right direction. And it's our job to point people to the right place and say, search the Bible. There's some answers over there. But more than that, you know, if somebody's a guide, well, there's two sorts of guides, right? If you get stuck, right, in a city and you wind down your window and you're in a car, and I know if you're a man, it's a very difficult thing to do. Yes, that's right. Wise, we're very stubborn and independent. But, you know, if you're, and you talk to them, say, hey, can you give me the directions to McDonald's, because McDonald's is great, right? Oh, it's great, McDonald's. And it's in every city, so McDonald's. There are other food establishments that you can order from and attend. But anyway, if you go to McDonald's and you wind the window down and you say, hey, can you point to McDonald's? You know, a really useful passerby goes, sure. And they'll say, yeah, if you go down the road, at the first set of traffic lights, you turn right, and then there's three small kind of rows. Then if you take the next left after those, and then you come to Argos, and it's on the right. Then if you take the third exit to the next roundabout, and then the second right, you'll be there. And you go, thanks. Can I write that down? But the best guys do this. They say, hey, I'm on my way. Why don't you follow me in my car or my motorcycle or whatever? If you follow me, I will take you to the place. And you see, if we're going to help wise people, the people in our world, to find Jesus, to find the truth, we need to be not the guy that just points a direction and leaves them. We need to be the type of people that say, hey, if you're interested, let me come alongside and I will guide you all the way. I will lead you all the way. Because that's what the star did. The star guided the wise men, however it did that, all the way until the wise men got to the house. And we need to shine a light on Jesus. We need to be telling people stories from our life of how we've encountered Jesus. In this season, it is actually a season of hope. We've been living through this virus for the last few months, and it's been, well, been less hopeful than normal, let's put it like that. But hope is arising, and we can share with people how we've been sustained through our relationship with Jesus over the last few months, and we can shine a light on the person of Jesus by telling stories about what Jesus has done. So the first thing, we need to be like stars. We need to guide and highlight Jesus. The second thing I think we need to be like, in this entourage the wise men had, they had all the servants and they had all the cocks and they had all these people who were there and all the camels and the donkeys and everything. And they were kind of serving. They were carrying burdens. They were cooking. They were providing. They were being helpful. They were just doing a whole lot of practical things to help these wise men get to where they needed to be. And I would suggest in this season that we need to do the same. We need to be there for people so that we can carry their burdens. We need to be generous when they need things do. We need to cook for each other. Michelle and mine's favourite stories is hearing Connect groups cooking meals for each other. Somebody's had a baby. Whew. They have like 10 meals. Hey, presto, there you go. And just the stories of care. But we need to expand that care from time to time for those who are seeking. So that they may be helped on this journey for discovering the truth. And this is how we have to do it. Now, I suspect the wise men paid all their cooks and servants and everything to do everything. And, you know, our friends aren't going to pay us to help them in their truth seeking. But we need to create time. We need to create time. And one of my kind of pleas from my heart, I think, for all of us this season is, let's create a bit of time to help somebody find Jesus, to keep them along that track this year, to create a bit of space in your timetable. Actually, maybe this year, above all years, it might be easier. There's less parties, there's less going on. So we'll have more time. Well, let's use that time, God-given time, to help those people in our world, those wise people in the world who are seeking the truth, are seeking Jesus. Let's give them time to help them. It might be practically serving them or being generous or hanging out or asking questions. But let's give people time and church. Do you know, next year, when we all go completely loopy and have zillions of parties and have crackers and party poppers and balloons as often as we can, and meet lots of people, let's still make sure we have time for people who are seeking Jesus, that our busy lives don't stop us from doing the greatest thing that we can possibly do, which is help somebody discover the truth about Jesus. And then the third thing that were helping the wise men get to where they had to get to were the soldiers. And I think we sometimes forget, because caring and pointing direction to Jesus, we get. But we also need to make sure people are safe. Or better put, that they feel secure as they explore the truth about Jesus. And all of us can do that by making it feel as normal as possible, by removing barriers, anything that might stop them from getting to where they need to get to. I mean, one of the main jobs of the soldiers was to clear the way, to make sure the next bit of the journey was safe, was clear. There's nothing going to stop them getting where they needed to get to, as well as protecting the flanks and whatever else. But it was to clear. And we as Christians need to be soldiers like that. We need, as it were, in prayer and also in action, clear the way so that people can walk in to finding the truth. So those wise people in our lives can find the truth about Jesus. So have you got that? We need to be a light, we need to be a guide. We need to be one who cares, who supports, who provides, and those who protect and make a way, a star. Those who are servants, one to another, and for the soldiers. And if we can do that, if you can do that, if we can do it together, do you know, even this Christmas, it'll be amazing how many people discover the truth. As the wise men did, they discovered the truth. And when they discover the truth, they gave gifts and they bowed down and worshipped. And we'll discover that people will do the same. But as you do it, something else will happen. And it's happened in my life so many times if I've had the joy to introduce people to Jesus. You see, when the wise men encountered baby Jesus, so did everybody else. Everybody else encountered Jesus at the same time in a fresh and new way. And you know, as you do this, in one sense, you serve other people to find the truth. When they encounter Jesus, you will also have a fresh encounter with Jesus. And there's nothing greater than having a fresh moment with Jesus Christ. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So, this Christmas, remember, God is with you. And that's a precious thought, a thankful thought, but it's also a thought to be shared. And I want to assure you that Michelle and I and the whole team, your Connect group and everybody else who knows you is praying that you'll get a chance to be a guide, to be generous, and also to make a way for people to know who Jesus is. Father, we thank you that you came down at Christmas to be with us that very first Christmas, and you have never left us nor forsaken us. In fact, Jesus, you promised that you would never leave us, and so we walk and we live and breathe in your presence with your power and your comfort and your joy, your peace and your everything with us. And so, Father, I pray, help us remember that often. But God, this Christmas and every Christmas, help us to share it with as many people as possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.